Hey guys, it's 7 p.m. It's Wednesday night. Welcome to First Baptist Church. And excited to hang out with you guys tonight. Really excited to continue this little series we got going, talking about pillars of power. First week we talked about preparation for the power. And this week we're going to talk about perseverance. And tonight I want you to start thinking about what perseverance means to you. Kind of think about your personal definition for that. And we'll go through a couple kind of the literal translation or definition from what I Googled today, and then some stuff through the Bible as well. So let's get started, let's pray, and we'll jump right into it. God, I thank you for this day, I thank you for this opportunity, I thank you for who you are, and how big you are, and how powerful you are. And God, I thank you that your power knows no bounds, it knows no lines that it can't cross. God, you are so big that nothing can contain you. And I'm so thankful for that. And I pray tonight that you would help us to open our minds and open our hearts to understand how big you are to the best of our ability and begin to operate in the power that you have for us, God, and that we can be effective to those around us, which is our ultimate goal, God, to see people saved and added to the kingdom and be effective to those around us. God, I pray that you would be with our church family tonight. I pray for those, God, who are sick and hurting, God, whether it's emotional, physical, mental, God, whatever's going on there. I know that you're big enough to meet those needs, and I pray that you would do that tonight. God, I pray for direction for our church, that you just continue to lead us by your hand, God, and we would just be sheep after you as our shepherd, and God, that you would help us to know when and how and what, God, and where, and all the little things, God, that we need to fall into place to make church work. Pray that you would help us to do those things. Thank you for the staff here at our church and their willingness to serve, God, and just the abilities that you've given them, God, to help us in this time. God, I pray that you would be with me tonight. Get me out of the way. Help me to speak your words, God, that I would just be straight from you. Everything that comes out of my mouth would be straight from you, that I wouldn't mess this up with my thoughts or anything like that. I thank you for who you are again. It's in your name I pray. Amen. All right, so pillars of power. First, when we talked about preparation, let's recap that. It's been a couple weeks. Number one, we had to talk about three guys there. The first one was Moses. He had to prepare to follow. He had to know what it meant to follow directions. And we talked about how difficult that is sometimes and the difference between my four-year-old and my eight-year-old at home. We also talked about Abraham, and he had to prepare his faith. He had to expand what he believed God could do. He had to let his mind grow to understand that God doesn't really know any bounds, and he can do what he wants. And so we were reminded that we have to increase our faith and prepare our faith for that power. And the last one was David. He had to prepare to fight, and he had to practice fighting, and he had to get ready for the big battle by remembering how God brought him from the smaller battles that he had faced in his life. So the first pillar of power, we talked about preparation. And tonight, following the alliteration, pillars of power, we're going to talk about perseverance. And perseverance is something that I feel like as Christians we lack a lot of times. I know personally for me, I feel like I can get really close to a breakthrough, really close to the teetering point of finding some awesome stuff with God, but I stop just short of that. And the definition of perseverance that I found on Google was something to the effect of steadfastness or continuing in a task despite difficulties or delay in success. And that kind of spoke pretty loud to me when I listened to that and I read that today, and I thought about that was kind of a technical definition of what perseverance is, and I thought about my own definition. And when I thought about my own definition, I could hear my dad asking me, "How bad do you want it?" And I think the way that we answer the question, "How bad do you want it?" defines how willing we are to persevere. And I've had to ask myself that question several times in my life. First few times I remember that was, like I said, with my dad playing football. "Logan, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want the extra yard? How bad do you want to make that tackle? How bad do you want to be faster, stronger?" All of those things. How bad do you want to be successful? Did I want it bad enough to work through the pain, to work through the soreness, to work through the bruises, all those things? Did I want it that bad? That showed me how I was able to persevere. And that's going through a lot of different seasons in my life. There was a time in my life where I felt like God was screaming at me, Logan, how bad do you want to live? How bad do you want to make it to tomorrow? How bad do you want to be effective? And when I was able to answer that question wholeheartedly and stand on the truths I knew of God, I was able to come out of depression and to come out of some suicidal ideations and some rough patches that I had mentally. But it took some introspective look at that to say, how bad do I want this? How bad do I want to keep moving forward? And tonight, that's what I want you to think about. I want that phrase and that question to kind of resound through you as we talk tonight. So in preparation for this, I kind of had two completely different outlines. And today, as I was kind of sorting thoughts through my head, we're just going to merge them. We're just going to merge them both. And so basically, one of the things that I thought about was when we think about perseverance, one of the scriptures that came to mind was Matthew 7, chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. And we all know that scripture is the scripture about asking, seeking, and knocking. And when I read back over that in my Bible, I don't remember reading that in the Holman Bible before, but in the Holman Bible, that scripture says, I'm going to read it verbatim here so I don't mess it up. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. Keep asking, and it will be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and he who searches, finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And I think that's cool because I had read that before, ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. But adding the ing to all of those words demonstrates that it doesn't just take one time. It doesn't just take a single instance of that. It's recurring and it's an attempt over multiple times to get to where we need to go. And it's that mentality that allows us to see more of what God has for us. And I know, as Christians, we know that time in our life where we ask God to come into our heart, to forgive us of our sins, we believe in Him, we believe that Jesus rose from the dead and we got saved. That was given to us. That salvation was given to us. And maybe we sought out the way we should go. Maybe we sought out changing our life and doing things differently. But how many times do we actually get to the knock part? How many times do we go to that thing that's intent, that shows that we've got that extra effort, that we've got that extra push to go on and to see what more God has for us? I know there's been times in my life where I've stopped just short of that. I've been content with knowing that I'm saved. I sought out. I live a pretty good life. I do things the way I'm supposed to. I check the boxes right. But I don't go impact the people around me in the way that I should. I don't go find people to minister to. I don't go knock on those doors, figuratively or literally. And I think that's what holds us back sometimes. We don't continue that pursuit. We don't continue those actions. We stop and when we feel like, okay, God set us free, God did these things for us, and then we can stop. And I think one of the things that holds us back from tapping into that power that God wants to give us and tapping into that unlimited resource of power that He is our perseverance. And tonight, man, I want to encourage you. I really do. I want to encourage you tonight to keep going, to keep moving, to keep doing those things, and to keep asking, keep seeking, and go knock. Go do that if you haven't done that before. Take that extra step to see what's on the other side of that door that God has for you. Maybe it's somebody who's going to find Jesus through the words that you speak. Maybe it's somebody who's going to completely shut you down, but it's going to teach you how much God loves you in that. And perseverance is continuing in an action despite delay or difficulties or delay in success. It's not saying that you don't achieve the success, but sometimes there's difficulties or there's delay along the way. And tonight, to continue into this, and it's a little bit more jumbled than my normal outlines, but to continue into this, I want to talk about three different guys in the Bible who showed us what perseverance was like. And the first guy I want to talk about is Joshua. And Joshua, man, this guy, he speaks to me on so many levels. I really like Joshua. And so backstory on him, we're just going to kind of run through the scriptures. I'm going to kind of give you a synopsis. I really encourage you to go back and check out the life of Joshua through Numbers and then also through the book of Joshua itself. But tonight we're going to we're going to jump through these fairly quick. So Joshua was born in Egypt. He witnessed and was part of the Exodus. He saw the miracle that the Exodus was when God delivered them out of Egypt. And shortly after that, you know, we all know the story. They cross the Red Sea, the miracle there. They get into the wilderness and they just kind of milling around for a few years. And Joshua is also one of the ones who Moses sent as a spy to go check out the Promised Land. So Joshua, Caleb, and 10 other guys, their names are in numbers there. You can check them out. Pretty unremarkable. But the other guys, they all go check out the Promised Land. And Joshua and Caleb look at it, and they know how big their God is. They remembered how big God was and the miracle worker that he was prior to this day. And they look at it, and they're like, yeah, man, this is a beautiful place. It's flowing with milk and honey. We can take it. God can let us have it. But because of the unbelief of those around him, that vision that he saw and that promise that he saw that God had for him was delayed for years and years and years. But what's cool about Joshua is rather than getting totally deterred and taking a tangent away from what God wanted him to do, he kept walking. Joshua always kept walking. And I feel like that's something we need to think about as we talk about perseverance, as we need to keep moving. We need to keep walking. We need to keep pursuing that goal, no matter how circuitous the route may be, no matter how difficult and how many times we feel like we're chasing our own tail, we need to keep moving closer to God. And what was cool about Joshua is he used that time to be groomed under Moses as the leader, that he would be the successor of Moses. And we see in Joshua chapter 1, when Moses dies, Joshua is raised up to be the leader to go on to a monster conquest in that Promised Land. But the time from when he saw what the Promised Land could be and how they could take hold of that to the time that he actually took hold of it was a really long time. And there's times in our life where I know that we see what God has for us, and the time that lapses between there can be a really long time. And it's really easy to listen to the people around us. It's really easy to get off track and to find that tangent and to find ourselves in a way that we're pursuing a different goal because we don't believe we can get there anymore. Or we don't believe that God is bigger than the situation around us. And I want to encourage you tonight to remember that God is bigger. God is so much more powerful than what people say. If it's not true about him, he is the truth. He is the power. He is the life. And when we see that in God, I want to encourage you to not be deterred. To not be taken away from what you see and the route that you see that God has for you, to keep pressing forward. Sometimes we stumble, sometimes we fall, sometimes we don't do it right. But it's the effort and that continued asking, seeking, and knocking that pulls us forward to that. And eventually, Joshua found the power that God had given him in the Israelites and was able to start the conquest of the Promised Land. But it took a while. And what he did to work in that part was he kept walking. The whole time. The whole time he was frustrated. The whole time he was upset. He was able to use that to move forward. So in perseverance, we're going to remember like Joshua to keep walking. The next thing tonight, I want to talk about Job. And you talk about a man of perseverance. This dude, I don't ever pray to live the life of Job. I don't want to. I don't even want to think about it. He had it rough. But he knew who his God was. And story of Job, maybe you know him, maybe you don't. But the story of Job is this guy, he's a super successful guy. The Bible says Satan came to God and said, hey, let me tempt Job. God's like, nah, don't mess with Job. He's good. And Satan's like, no, really, let me tempt him. He only worships you because he has all these things. He only follows you and loves you because he's a rich man. So God's like, all right, go for it. So throughout the book of Job, he has basically had his entire life stripped away from him. And there's nothing left at the end of close to the end of the story but himself. He's taken his wealth, his family, his health, all of these things he's taken. God has allowed to be taken from him. But all the while, his worship of God never falters. And what's cool in that is as we continue to worship in those difficult situations, what we're doing there is we're allowing God to be that sovereign God that he is. to understand no matter how the circumstance looks, to understand no matter how little money we have in a bank account, how few cows we have on the hill, how few of this or little of that or much of this, God is still God. And He is still sovereign. And Job understood that so well. He had some times where he struggled with it a bit, but he understood that in every situation that he dealt with, God was still sovereign. His worship didn't falter. His worship to God and that sacrifice that he was able to give to God. And then the idea and the purpose of our worship is to exalt God. And the purpose of our worship is to remember and lift His name up as that King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what was cool about Job is he did that in every situation. He did that in all of those circumstances. And I want to encourage you tonight to do the same thing, man. Be like Joshua. Keep walking. But also be like Job. Keep worshiping. I'm not talking about just singing songs all the time. I'm talking about living that life of worship, where no matter what the circumstance, what situation you're in, you can worship God. You can lift His name. You can understand that He is still the conductor of this symphony that we call life. He's still the one that's telling us where to go and how to be here and how to go there and what to do here. He is the ultimate power. And as long as we keep Him in that spot and we don't take our eyes off of Him, we can be like Peter and walk on water like he did with Jesus. But sometimes it's easy to see the waves around us and it's easy to see the things that are coming against us and take our eyes off of Him as we get scared or as we get shook about what's going on and there's no way God can be in control of the situation. Look at what's going on around us. Look at all this turmoil. Look at all these things. But God's calling us to be true worshipers, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to be those people and to be those Christians who are so founded and so rock solid in our anchors of worship and our anchors of our principles to Him to remind ourselves on the daily that He's more powerful and He is big. So remember that. Joshua walked. Job worshipped. And the last guy I want to talk to you about is Daniel. And Daniel was a cool guy to me because he kind of got dealt a bad hand, but God showed him success in that. And one of the things I want to talk about with Daniel was his willpower. And what's cool about Daniel, quick story of Daniel here, short synopsis. Like I said, go back and check these books out for sure. Read the book of Job, read the book of Daniel, read Numbers and talking about the life of Joshua and then also there in the book of Joshua as well. But Daniel was a Hebrew child, Hebrew kid. Babylon had kind of taken over the country and the people at that time. He was taken to Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar, and basically taken to a Babylonian boarding school. And what happens is they bring him and these other guys, and they're like, all right, we're going to teach you the Babylonian things, the Babylonian way to do things. We're going to give you the king's food. We're going to do all these things. We're going to make you Babylonians. And they're like, whatever, okay. So they start in on all this stuff, and Daniel's kind of like, I don't think this really isn't for me. And he starts talking to whoever his overseer guy was, and he said, listen, I'm not going to eat the king's food. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to defile myself with these things that the king's put before me. And this guy gets a little worried because his job's on the line if these guys don't look the way they're supposed to, because he's the one supposed to be taking care of them. He's like, no, man, you really need to. And Daniel's like, no, I'm not doing it. We're not going to do this. And so they kind of get back and forth, and basically it ends up where Daniel's like, all right, give me 10 days. If I look rough in 10 days, if I don't look better or as good as all these other guys in 10 days, we can talk. But if I look better, you're going to leave me alone. Okay. So that's kind of where we get the Daniel fast from. And Daniel basically ate fruits and vegetables and water for these 10 days. And in these 10 days, God basically began to promote him physically and spiritually as he began to move into different positions in the kingdom under Nebuchadnezzar. Had some rough times. Your boy spent a night in the lion's den. You know, we talk about that. But what was cool was Daniel didn't falter. He showed tremendous willpower and showed that even when he was presented with the lust of the flesh and even when he was presented with the things that Satan tries to throw at us to take our mind that look like good things. It was good food. I'm sure it was. I can imagine what a king's feast would look like. but it wasn't what God had for him, and it wasn't where God wanted him to be. And in our route to plugging into that power that God has for us, and through this perseverance, sometimes we're going to have to show some willpower. Sometimes we're going to have to show that we're dedicated to this cause, that we're dedicated to the life of this holiness that this requires. And that causes us to have to separate from some things in our life and not be able to indulge in things of the flesh, which looks so good and so promising in the immediate, but in the long term can be detrimental to us spiritually. And sometimes those things, they aren't food, or they're not super bad things. They're not, you know, drugs or alcohol or extramarital affairs or anything like that. Sometimes it's indulging in the things that we just get caught up in. Sometimes it's gossip. Sometimes it's worry. Sometimes it's anxiety that Satan throws at us, and he knows we're going to latch onto these. And he knows we're going to grab a hold of this. And that's going to take our eyes off of what God has for us. So tonight I want to encourage you to remember to have that willpower as well. To remember to be focused on what we're going for, to persevere toward that power, to show that we're dedicated to that cause, like I said a few minutes ago. We'll recap this real quick. Perseverance is continuing in an action despite difficulty or delay in success. And tonight I want to encourage you to keep going in that, to keep pushing forward, to keep moving toward God, and to keep working your way. Sometimes it feels like it's barely a step. Sometimes it feels like we're just trying to pick a leg up to make it go forward. But I want to encourage you tonight to keep moving forward. I want to encourage you tonight to persevere, because the lives of your family may depend on that. The lives of your family and your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers may depend on your perseverance. Maybe they're watching you to see how you respond to the situations that they're in, and you're going to be that Bible that they read. Or maybe it's you actually speaking a word to them and persevering and moving closer to God and tapping into that power a little bit and saying, "Hey man, you know Jesus? You know who I'm talking about when I talk about Jesus?" And just moving to that conversation starter. But I want to encourage you to keep going. Don't give up. Don't stop here, because this isn't the end. This isn't what the last chapter looks like. And I want to encourage you as a Christian, and it's so important at this point to keep moving, to keep going, to keep persevering, and to show that we're not powerless. Although it feels like it sometimes, like we can't affect any change around us, and we can't impact anything, and our hands are so tied, we can't do anything. I want to remind you again tonight that our God is bigger than that. And our God is more powerful than anything that comes against us. And anything that comes against His church and His children. And He wants us to be successful in that. And He wants us to have that relationship with Him. To do the great things. To see people saved. And to go reach the world for His name and see the kingdom grow bigger. He also wants us, man, in the rough times to keep walking. No matter what people say, no matter how discouraging they are, no matter how difficult the situation is, man, keep walking. Keep moving. Pick that foot up, put one in front of the other, and keep going. Man, keep worshiping too. Be like Job. It doesn't matter what falls to your side. It doesn't matter what falls to your left and to your right. Keep your eyes focused on Him and remember that sovereignty that God has. He's above it. He's bigger than that. He's more incredible than anything we could imagine. Put Him in the spot where He goes. Put Him at the top. Don't put Him at the bottom. Don't put Him to the left or the right. Put Him at the top and get there. Keep worshiping. And the last thing, like Daniel, man, show that willpower. Let's be dedicated to the cause of Christianity and the cause that God has called us to. And to continue in that and to show that, yeah, I'm not going to be affected by this, and I'm not going to indulge in these lusts of the flesh, and I'm not going to indulge in these things that Satan tries to throw at me. I'm going to stand strong. After having done all to stand, I'm going to stand there for it, like it talks about. And I want to encourage you to do that tonight. It's so important that we keep moving. It's so important that we keep impacting the lives around us. Man, come to church. Man, come see your friends, see your family, see your church family. But if you're not coming to church and you're nervous about that, man, continue. Go to, speak to your coworkers, speak to your family members, talk to those people around you who don't know Jesus. Tell them what you know. and remind them about it. Tonight, I just want to encourage you to persevere. Man, prepare, like God said, to have that power, but then persevere to get there. It's important. It's important. As we get ready to close tonight, I want you guys to pray with me, and I want you guys to think about that. That question that I asked earlier, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want to see your family member saved? How bad do you want to see your community changed? How bad do you want what God has for you? How bad do you want to be effective? How bad do you want it? And when you can answer that question, and the way that you answer that question is going to show how dedicated you are to persevere. And it's going to show how dedicated you are to move forward to what God wants us to do. Answer that question in your heart as we pray tonight. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for the opportunity to speak your word. I thank you, God, for just how incredible you are. God, that you go beyond what we think. God, you go beyond what we feel. God, you go to what we know. We know is true in you. And God, sometimes we don't feel it the way that we want to feel it, or sometimes we don't understand it the way that we want to understand it, God, but it's not a cognitive thing, and it's not an emotional thing, God, it's a spiritual thing. And I'm reminded that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when I can adopt that mentality, God, I can apply that to the different situations and circumstances that I find myself in my life. And God, I can remember that because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, God, you were the same today that you were when I felt so good. And you're the same, God, on those days that I don't feel so good. And I don't want to keep moving forward. But because you're the same, I know that I can tap into that same power on those rough days and continue forward. God, I pray that you give us a heart within us that can't be stopped. God, that champion's mentality that won't be shut down by difficulty. God, that winner's mentality that won't be stopped by an obstacle or delay in our success, God. We know that it's coming. God, I'm reminded that you are so incredibly powerful. And God, when we do these things and we show our dedication to you, you bless us. Mm. And God, when we show our dedication and this perseverance to you, God, you begin to shower us with these opportunities to be effective, God. And then you begin to shower us with these blessings of loved ones being saved, God, or co-workers finding you, God, or changing the environments that we see ourselves in that are negative. God, you do those big things. You deliver us from addictions, God. You heal us from depression and anxiety and worry. God, you can do those monster things, God, but we continue to push forward to you. And God, I pray for the church that you would give us a heart of perseverance. God, individually, like we talked about last week and the week before, God, it's so important to adopt these things individually and then see the effect synergistically as it becomes a corporate mentality. But God, I pray that you help us on the individual level, God, on the daily to grind it out, to take that next step, man, to pick our foot up, God, even when it feels like we can't move forward, just to pick it up and show the effort and to show that dedication to move forward. I'm so thankful for the church, and I'm so thankful for the opportunities that you give us in our lives to minister for you and to impact our community and to see souls saved and the kingdom grow. But God, I pray that you don't, you keep us from becoming weary in our well-doing. God, I'm reminded that those that wait upon the Lord, God, they renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. God, they'll walk and not faint. And I know that's a promise for you. That when we persevere, God, and we know that you're going to be there, we're not going to grow weary. God, we're not going to find ourselves desolate and alone. God, we know that you're with us. I'm so thankful for that, God, and I'm so thankful for this church and the church of Christians in this world who are not going to give up, who are not going to stop short of the last chapter that you have for us. God, this isn't it. This isn't the end, and I know it. Encourage us to keep going. Keep stoking the fire and move forward. We love you, God, and we thank you for you. We thank you for your wonderful blessings on our lives. Be with us this week, God. Bless us. Help us to see you, God, in a new light. Help us to see our surroundings, God, in a new through a new lens, God. And see your name, I pray. Amen. All right. So remember, persevere. Talking about those pillars of power. Number one, we got to prepare. Number two, we got to persevere. next week, I hope I can think of another P word that God's going to give me to follow this alliteration, but it's liable to be a totally different word. We're going to talk about that. And I pray that you guys are having an incredible week. I want to remind you to persevere, even if it's tough. We got to keep moving forward. You guys have a great week.